In Luke 18:1, it says, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." If you'd join me in prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for today and be able to come here. Lord, you're good, and your loving kindness is everlasting, and your faithfulness to all generations, Lord. We thank you so much for that you're in control, and that you know our needs, Lord. Even sometimes it seems like we think it should be different, but you have a better plan for us, Lord. And Lord, we also just lift up some people in the church here and in the area, and some families. And Lord, I lift up little Liam, that you would heal this little guy and take care of him and be with the family and the parents and just comfort them, Lord. And Lord, I also lift up the kids going back to college and for the first time and or just been there before and with the parents and everything there. And Father, that you'd walk with them and help them to stand true to you and to follow you and to be a light for you in these colleges, Lord. And also the kids going back to school and just help them to be strong and courageous and to be a witness for you, Lord. And also lift up Brianna and Natalie. Lord, some of the struggles that are going on there, Father, you know them. We ask for your healing touch on them. And Lord, we help us to be a light in the community, Lord. Help us to be encouragers. Help us to be good listeners. And Lord, help us to guide people back to you, Lord. And Father, also just lift up Mike and Janet Davis. Lord, just lift up their needs overseas there. Lord, that you would provide for them, that you would help them to be encouragers and also just to be encouraged too, Lord. And Father, we lift these things up to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Brian, for praying for us. Thanks, Alan, for the announcements. Teresa and Bob, thank you for leading us in songs of worship and praise to our Lord. Thank you to the ushers who passed the plate and took attendance, and thanks to the folks up in the AV booth for making this possible. Without you, no one would hear or see what's going on. So thank you for all of you who give your talents and time to the church. It's appreciated. You can see in the bulletin that we're going to have a little bit of a recap of our challenge experience from July. As you know, that you've probably heard some stories about challenge in the week since we've been home. You might have heard that, you know, somebody decided they needed to borrow a trailer for a little while. But we have some news. It's nice that trailer has been found and returned back to its rightful place at the master's acreage. It's crazy how that thing happens. A VIN forensic analyst found it by looking at a picture and seeing it on the side of the road somewhere. I don't know. It's crazy how all that works. But God works good for all those who love him, and God was definitely working through that in that moment. And not only that, but as a sign of thanks and a token of gratitude, our brothers and sisters down the road in Ida Grove offered their trailer that they used to use, that they don't longer have a use for, to Darren for his work on their church over the past years, getting it ready. So, you know, he's doubly blessed now with trailers. So God's definitely moving and working. So we thank those at Cross Ridge for offering that to him at a time of need. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get started with the message today. Father, just thank you for this time together. Thank you for this opportunity to come to this place to share in fellowship, to share in worship to you, God, and to dive into your word and how your word might reveal areas in of our life that we might need to lay down at the foot of the cross or convict us to move forward in faith, taking steps of intentionality that draw us closer to you as we're led by the Holy Spirit to follow Christ in our life. God, we just give you thanks for this day and for all the blessings, for it's in your name. Amen. So at Challenge, we had a lot of awesome experiences. We got to experience wonderful worship with a wonderful band that was leading us to sing praises to our God. It was a band, a worship collective called Local Sound, who are from the Nashville, Tennessee area, and they do spontaneous worship events, and it's a collective of musicians, so their lineup isn't always the same, but they're held together by one spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit of God that is dwelling within them, allowing them to utilize their talents to bring praise to God, and it was awesome to be led by them in worship. We also got to hear from wonderful speakers, much more eloquent and speaking than I, but it was awesome to hear from them and to be challenged by them as they speak life through some of the Psalms that we were able to study over the week. Kids got to learn from equipping labs, which are intentional times where they go into another area led by another speaker, where they're intentionally looking at life application and how faith might interact with their current world around them. You know, so it's talking about relationships, talking about LGBTQ questions, being challenged to be leaders within their schools and in their communities, challenging them in different ways to live out their faith in meaningful ways. So they got to experience being challenged in those ways. They also got to meet a lot of really wonderful people in fellowship and hang out and play games and experience a little bit of what Kansas City has to offer. We also got to experience going out into the community and serving the community. Our group, the day we went out, we were picking up trash and garbage and litter from a couple different lots that a ministry had purchased to continue building affordable housing for members of their community. This started with one pastor a handful of years ago, and they've built a church, they've built a senior living community, they've built other housing developments, and now they're on their next housing developments. Wild what God's doing through the life of that church and how we were able to be a part of that in that little way of ministering to that community. And obviously we also got to experience the joy of meeting new friends from Japan and experiencing their joy for life and for experiencing all that God has to offer through their travels here. Everything was amazing to them, and it just really allowed us to take a step back and see how sometimes we might take for granted a cornfield, or we might take for granted the size of soft drinks in a gas station. Like, everything was amazing to them, and just that joy and that awe really, it fueled me, and I think it fueled many of our students as well. Over the next handful of minutes, I'm going to show a video, a little video recap of specifically our group and some of the things that we experienced. This is a lot of pictures from their point of view. So it's a lot of group selfies, a lot of experiences of what they, what touched them and how they interacted with Challenge. So for the next few minutes, let's take a look at this this video. So that's a little snapshot of some of the experiences that our students were able to experience while at Challenge. A lot of those images reflect opportunities that they had that'll stick with them for a while now. Some of those moments that you saw them sitting on the ground with Bibles in their hand and journals in their hand, were a part of our week called huddles. And so after every session, we would go and find a spot where we could meet and debrief what we had just experienced, what we had just worshiped, what the speaker revealed to us in God's word. And it was an opportunity for us to be challenged in great ways. The final huddle on Friday after the morning session was called the sending huddle. And the sending huddle was designed to be a little bit longer, a little bit more in depth, and encourage the students to really whittle down areas that they feel God was calling them to breathe life into their faith in real ways. And so we're going to use kind of that model to jump into this message today. So all week they carried around, you know, these little books that had some information in it, but it also had areas where notes were taken at each session. Students all took notes, trying to reveal what Christ wanted them to know, what the Holy Spirit was drawing them to know through the lessons that were being taught. And so they were encouraged to take notes. And then at the back of the book that we got, we had this opportunity to have a sending huddle. And the sending huddle intentionally asks us to focus on three areas: life with Jesus, life with people, and life with purpose. And so we're going to do a similar exercise here this morning. So I'm going to read from Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 through 21. But when you think about life with Jesus, life with people, and life with purpose, see how this particular passage might resonate in some of those areas. Romans 12, starting in verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you to not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith; if service, in our serving; the one who teaches, in his teaching; the one who exhorts, in his exhortation; the one who contributes, in generosity; the one who leads, with zeal; the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, Never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Throughout the week, like I said, we would have a huddle after each session, but on that Friday, we would have a sending huddle. So the sending huddle was an in-depth deep dive in how we can begin to put what had been taught to us throughout the week into practical action through our personal relationship with God as we look to follow Christ more intentionally. Our relationship with the people in our lives, family, friends, acquaintances, and foes alike, you know, how we let God work through those relationships, and our call to life with purpose and on mission. This is the being salt and light in various ways amongst our community. We did this by looking at a three-circle model of life with Jesus, life with people, and life with purpose. I think this will be on the screen here in just a second. But the inner circle, life with Jesus. So we were called to look back on what we had learned, but my challenge to you guys is to either starting now for like the next couple weeks or looking back at the last couple weeks and you're hearing messages either from Pastor Dave or from our missionary or from myself, or as you study in a small group Bible study if you're a part of one of those, or Sunday school class, or you do your own devotion throughout the week, is to look back at the lessons that you have learned. Look back over that time and see what are the scriptural teachings that stood out to you. What was God pulling up in those teachings to make you pause and to think on those things a little bit harder? Of those things learned from God's word, how is the Holy Spirit convicting you to respond? So we were challenged to not only just acknowledge that if we're hearing something on lamenting from one of the Psalms of David where he laments to God, where he bears his hardship and ache to God, do we do that in our life? I don't know if I actually do that. I'm going to write that down. That might be something that, you know, God's bringing up to me to work on. I'm going to write that down so I don't forget it. So we jotted those things down. And then we looked through those things. Is there a renewed spiritual practice that we're being called to either start fresh because we haven't done it before, or renew something that we had done but we've kind of gotten away from, that we're feeling like we need to get back to that thing? And you could think about things like journaling through your Bible study. So, you know, how is God speaking to you through journaling, through praying through the scriptures, through really committing to a quiet time with God's word daily? Maybe it's allowing yourself to be humble during worship and actually allow your voice to raise up and sing. Maybe you've gotten complacent and you kind of stand there during worship. Maybe you're called to sing with the saints. Maybe it's fasting or letting go of something that's holding you down, or, like I said, lamenting or forgiving somebody or repenting of something that's capturing your heart. So you think about all these things, all these areas. Where is God speaking to me? Try to hone in on one of those things that you need to act on. And whatever that thing is that will enrich your life with Jesus, write down ways that you can make that happen. So what's your action plan? So if I want to be more intentional about lamenting to God, how am I going to remember to do that? I could say I want to do that, but then as life happens, it's easy to forget. So how am I going to do that? What are the things that are going to trigger that for me? Maybe it's somebody that can hold you accountable Maybe it's a partner that can hold you accountable to that. Maybe it's a post-it note or a sign you put on your mirror first thing in the morning. You see lament, and you're reminded to go to God with a lamenting prayer if you're going through something rough. Whatever that thing is, identify it, and then look for practical, actionable ways that you could do that in your daily devotion, your daily life with Jesus. So what will be your action steps to make sure that you respond faithfully to growing your transformed life with Jesus? Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth." So as we study, we must be careful to not pray over teachings like this, only return to the distractions that living in this world brings. It's easy to remind ourselves of that as we're reading the words, to set our mind on things above, but when life starts to happen, when things are going down, when the busyness hits, do we simply fall back to just living life, or are we still focusing on setting our mind on things above as we're doing life? Life with Jesus begins with responding to the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit by accepting the gift of grace and by declaring that we are in fact sinners in need of a Savior and believing that Jesus is that Savior and Lord of our life, and that through His resurrection, we who are dead in our sins are now alive in Christ. This declaration is followed by further working of the Holy Spirit through a transformation that begins in our heart, reshaping our entire existence rather than merely adding a personal faith dimension to an otherwise unchanged life. Faith is not to be an added box in our to-do list, but a new life lived with Christ. As redeemed people, we are invited into a lifelong transformative journey of faith and spiritual growth and moral renewal and radical obedience to Christ and His teachings. But this transformation doesn't exist in a vacuum. As Christians, with Christ as the head of the church, we are called to community, to a life together, which brings us to the middle circle. The middle circle is life with people. So again, looking back at all those things you learned either in the past month or looking, you're going to start this and you're going to start taking account of the lessons God is bringing into your life through messages, through study, through small groups, through whatever it might be. You're going to look for these learning moments where we turn our focus on how what is revealed through Christ's word should begin to shape our relationships with others. For example, when we look at Paul's teaching to the church at Rome, you can see how we can be challenged or convicted in a way through verses 9 through the end, where he says, "Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to that which is good, love one another." So we're called to love each other, to love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. I mean, this is a communal act here. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. To seek to show hospitality. So maybe God is putting that word seek on your heart right now. What does that mean for me in my life and how I relate to the world around me and the people around me? Am I seeking to show hospitality to my family, to my friends, to my coworkers? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Repay no one evil for evil. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And then finally, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We're called to love our neighbor. So what are tangible steps as individuals can we take to grow our Christian response to the people in our life? As we pray over these things, who is God putting on our hearts as we hear this, as we hear, you know, be hospitable to all, to not repay evil, to forgive, to weep with somebody who is going through a difficult time, to rejoice with somebody who is going through a time of joy. Who is God pulling into our hearts when we are challenged with these kind of teachings? Maybe it is a friend, a neighbor, a family member, a coworker, a classmate, or maybe it's someone in church. Maybe it's somebody we need to forgive or encourage. Maybe it's somebody we need to pray for and pray with or show hospitality to. Maybe we know someone going through, like I said, a very rough season in life, and God is calling you to bear with them, to weep with them, and to love them with humility and faithfulness. So in your notes, when you're in Bible study or you're in a message and you hear these challenges of where we're acting, where God's calling his people to love one another, what does that mean for you in your life today? How is God calling you to act in those ways? List these individuals that God is bringing to your heart, and then list ways you can serve them like Christ. For what you have done to the least of these, you have done to me, Jesus teaches. Colossians 3, 12 through 15 puts it this way. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. We are called to be an obedient follower of Christ who shares life with our friends and with our neighbors and with our family and with our community. Our faith was never meant to be private. It's very, very personal. But those personal things we can share with others. Private things we tend to want to keep private. So let your faith be personal to you, but let it be communal as well. Let love guide your heart as you share what God is doing in your life. And then you get to the outer circle, life with purpose. Finally, taking all of our learning moments that we experience, we turn our attention to how God, through Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, is equipping us to serve others and build his kingdom. Going back to our passage in Romans, passage 12, verses 3 through 8, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. And it says, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. We are called to use the gifts that God has given us. Is God revealing to you and in you, through your study of his word, spiritual strengths and gifts that might reach a specific need, a specific need, be it in our church? You could look at ministries like Maybe God's calling me to, as an adult, to find ways where I can breathe life into younger members of our church. Maybe it's to see what being an Awana leader might look like for a season. Maybe it's helping out with hospitality services. Maybe it's becoming a small group leader or youth ministry leader. Maybe it's helping with widows ministry or volunteering with caring for the Congo group. Maybe it's joining as a journeyman or joining the women's ministry. Or maybe it's stepping up and stepping out in faith within our community, at school, or possibly on a mission field beyond our community. What might God be calling you to step up and serve, and what are your steps in response to this call? Pray and document this in detail as you discern. All these circles start from the inner circle, though. Life with Jesus. As we mature in faith, that will push us into that middle circle where we're able to express our faithfulness in life with others. Our faith is personal, not private. As we grow in faith, we are connected in community by one Spirit. The promise helper that is the Holy Spirit unites us as believers, and we begin to bear with each other, rejoice with each other, sing praises with each other. And as we mature in faith, and as our life with Jesus and others deepen, God's call for us to live a life of purpose emerges, and we are challenged to respond with great intentionality and purpose to a point where God's grace-given, ordained talents in us and the gifts in us meet a real need. Again, be it in our church, our community, or in a mission field. So I'm going to show you real quick how some of our students went through this process. I have a couple that are going to come up here and help hold this. Keegan's coming. So you come hold this over here, bud. So we're given these big piece of paper. And so each student started this process by looking at those three areas: life with Jesus, life with others, and life with purpose. And they individually spent a decent amount of time going through that and making their own notes just for themselves of where they think God was leading them or calling to during that week. And so this is something that we can do in our study as well. Where is God calling us and leading us to in our walk with Christ? And so I'm not going to read all of them, but we started, after everybody spent time alone, we came back as a big group, and you might have saw a picture of that. Sophie was stretched legs, and she was right. This is Sophie's writing. So she was our note taker for this, and a lot of the guys were standing up, and we're all around this and giving our personal feedback of what God was calling us to. So life with Jesus, they highlighted lamenting. Like, they never thought to go to God with that real hard stuff in life. It's easy for us as humans to just kind of swallow that and sit on that. But as the example that King David gives us, he gives us permission to go to God with our lament. They highlighted daily reading Bible and intentionality in relationship with Jesus to grow that. Accountability was high on a lot of people's notes, so they want somebody to do that with, that they can hold each other accountable. And they also wanted to work on their skill of memorizing Scripture. And so we'll be working on that a little bit this year as well. How learning to memorize Scripture can help us when we interact with the world around us. We can recall some of God's teachings and present them in that way. Life with people, there's a lot of things here. One that stood out was to share life, be vulnerable with those that are walking with Jesus. So if we have an accountability partner, be vulnerable. Allow those hard areas of your life to be exposed. Let it see light. Let us pray for each other about those things. Encouraging people to continue to grow in their faith. Allow others to care for you. That was also one. It's hard to allow people to respond faithfully in their walk to care for you. It's hard to allow that, to let that happen. It's hard to receive the gift of grace and love from somebody. And so they wanted to work on that. What does it look like to allow my brother in Christ to really care for me and to weep with me and to bear with me and to pray with me and be a credible witness to the gospel? That's a tough one. It's awesome to see in there. That means, how are you living your life? How are you walking in Christ so that others might see that you are a light in the community, that others might see you are salt, adding flavor to the community in ways that draws people to know who you serve and who you're following after, and in turn encourages them to do the same, to get to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then life with purpose, servant-hearted. They wanted to find ways where they could live out their faith in the community, in school, in family, in small group, in church, just in their sports groups. How do we have a servant heart as we live life? Where can we be the hands and feet of Christ? Some of the students, y'all might not know, but as school's getting started, they've started what they call a prayer locker at the high school. And so it gives students opportunity throughout the week to, if they're going through something hard or they just need a little extra prayer over something, they can write it down, slip it in the locker, and then a group of students comes together once a week and just prays over those items for their students. They want to be servant-hearted. They want to live a life that brings glory to God. They want to slow down. Life is busy. Life is fast. How do we slow down and be still and know that God is with us? So they want to slow down, and they want to stop gossip and not feed into it. Obviously, being high school students, there is a fair amount of gossip that goes around in the hallways. Are they tacitly approving of that, or are they distancing themselves of that through their actions? So they wanted to find ways of how they could help stop gossip in their world. And so of those things, we narrowed it down to one. We had time to just go through life with Jesus to first. So they wanted to narrow it down with this idea of lamenting and what that really looks like and what that really means. And so they found action steps of how they can be reminded to actually do that, actually live out that practice. So one of them was journaling. So as they as they're going through life throughout their day, journaling a prayer journal, basically, of writing down not only the joys but the things that are really hurting, the real struggles in their life, and laying it out to God. Some thought about fasting, and that doesn't always have to mean fasting from food, but you could fast from your mobile devices, the things that get in the way of our relationship with Christ at times. So you put that down for a time, and when you feel the urge to go to that thing, you pause, and that's your reminder to go to God in prayer, that you need to stay focused on who God is. Memorizing Psalm 13, I think, was one of them. If they memorize Psalm 13, that'll encourage them to live a life of lament and prayer to God. Meditate on the word. Prayer, be intentional with their prayer life. And create space to engage God's word daily. And so that's just a quick overview of how they looked through some of these issues in their own right. And so, as you know, myself, I found great encouragement to do this as well. This isn't just something that students can do. We all should be looking to God's word and asking and seeking, what is God speaking to me today in this moment? What do I need to lay at the foot of the cross? What do I need to let go of? What do I need to vocalize to God in my prayers of lament that I've been holding on to? Who do I need to forgive so that I can continue to grow closer to Christ and bring the community of faith together? All these things are real things that we all go through. So how is God using a message by Pastor Dave or using a Bible study, using a small group, using a Sunday school class to illuminate areas of our life where we could grow, starting with our relationship with Jesus and then continuing out to our relationship with others and then continuing out to a life on purpose? What is God calling me to do with the gifts that he's put in my heart? One of the areas that I see this life on purpose, I'm always reminded of Kristen's OB when we were having kids. He was a doctor, but he was also living his life on purpose. Because in those sessions that we would have with him, he would pray for us, pray with us. He was bringing his faith into his workplace. He would encourage us to pray for each other and for our family. And he would encourage us to play songs of worship while she's in labor so that the first sounds this baby hears as it enters into a new world is the praises of God being lifted up. He was bringing his personal life with Jesus into a life of purpose. And I know he's not the only one. I've talked to many of you guys who have had surgeries here recently, and your surgeons have all prayed for you at times. And that's beautiful, living your life on purpose. How are we able to bring our life into the world around us that shines a light to the gospel? So life with Jesus, how do we strengthen that? Life with others, how do we breathe life into that and breathe life into those that we love the most and those that are around us, and even those that we have a difficult relationship? How do we breathe gospel life into that moment? And how do we live a life on purpose? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity to come to you in faith. And we just ask that by your Spirit that we are convicted in areas of our life where we could, in fact, grow in our personal relationship with you. Areas of our life where we could, in fact, grow in how we relate to each other, how we bear with each other, how we rejoice with each other, how we endure and weep with each other, how we live life together. And God, may in the days and weeks ahead that you, by your Spirit, you reveal areas in our life where you have gifted us with special gifts and talents, and now you're illuminating areas, maybe in our church or community or the mission field around us, to use those gifts in intentional ways to be light in an otherwise oftentimes dark world. God, we just want to get to know you more. And we want to be transformed by your Spirit and not conformed to the world around us. We want to be bound together by a love that never fails. And that is a love from you, God. So God, we just lift up this moment, this time, everyone in this room and those beyond. God, just call on us, pour out your Spirit on us, guide us, and lead us. We are here, Lord. Send us. For it's in your name. Amen.